Say yes to summer and get cash back on many of your favorite brands with PayPal. Say yes to those pink flamingo floaties you've been eyeing online. Get them and make a splash with that cash back. Say yes to the third barbecue in a row this week. Grill up those burgers and earn that extra cheese. Say yes to that last-minute road trip. You deserve it. Pay at the pump and fuel up your wallet with PayPal. Say yes to summertime fun and all the cash back that PayPal has to offer. Download the PayPal app. Redeem points for cash and other options. Terms apply.
You by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. It's the 90 minutes from wherever you are. By the way, our All-Star Friday night is right around the corner. That means it's time again for our All-Star student nominations. Thanks to Rotolo Chevrolet and Kaposio Buick GMC. If you know a student that's an All-Star in the classroom, in their sport, and in their community, go to ESPNLA.com to nominate your student. Parents, friends, family, teachers, and coaches can all participate in nominating an All-Star student. So go to ESPNLA.com today. Rotolo Chevrolet and Kaposio Buick GMC. Come see what the fun is all about.
You know who else is going to be at Morongo? Omarion.
Oh, yeah?
I saw the commercial.
Come on.
Really?
Yeah, look it up. Morongo Casino, Omarion.
There you go.
You're a big B2K fan?
I mean, back in the day,
Yeah.
It was a banger.
A couple of little tracks.
Mm-hmm. All right, Linz, what do you got?
All right, so you know how a lot of times when like a popular movie or show comes out, they'll do these little pop-up restaurant experiences.
Yes.
And in honor of the upcoming Beetlejuice sequel, the Tim Burton Beetlejuice sequel, they're going to have a Beetlejuice immersive experience in Hollywood. And it starts in late August. I believe it's August 23rd. So obviously it's going to be, like I said, like a lot of these other pop-ups where it's a restaurant that has Beetlejuice-themed dinners, drinks, and parts of the movie sets that are recreated, so you can take all kinds of photos by them. To me, I think that's one of like the cooler pop-up experiences because Beetlejuice is so out there. So tickets for the event start at $25, and they go on sale on Wednesday.
Okay.
And it includes the food, a soft drink or non-alcoholic drink, but then you can purchase those extra. And then you get to take all the pictures that you want. So I'm definitely going to go check that out. Because it looks pretty awesome, and so does the Beetlejuice sequel.
I feel like I'm a hard pass on that.
Really?
One.
You don't like Beetlejuice?
I mean, I like Beetlejuice, but it was so long ago. Like, I feel like they've wasted so much time between.
Well, part two's coming back, so yeah. I mean, they're trying to promote the movie, and
yeah. But it's like, so when I think of pop ups, I'm thinking of like Stranger Things, the pop up.
Yes,
sure.
Yeah.
That was like okay because it was in the present,
right?
Like,
but I think if the pop up rolls while the movie is out, I think more people will start going to it.
I will say though, a lot of these pop up experiences are like a big nostalgia play because I remember when like the Saved by the Bell one came out, me and all my friends went to that. You could not get tickets to that thing.
That was sold out.
Saved by the Bell, it came out of nowhere. Like nobody was like, you know, it's not like they had like a reunion show. It was just out of nowhere. And then they did a couple other ones that were like nostalgia.
I know they did one for the Barbie movie.
Yeah.
If they did a pop-up, because I saw it was in the works for, I think, what Ice Cube said they're going to try to do a Last Friday. Like, if they did, like, a Last Friday pop-up and you had, like, some of the things, like, you know, Big Worm's ice cream van and, like, the kitchen where Craig was over there eating his cereal. Like, I would go to a Last Friday pop-up because it's like a whole Friday sequel, you know what I mean? But I feel like with Beetlejuice...
Oh, I'm in. I'm so in. Beetlejuice is a classic.
What's the age demographic? Like, how old you got to be to really fall into the...
I don't know. I mean, it came out in like 1988, 87.
Right. So that's like 35 and up really understand Beetlejuice.
Yeah, but I wasn't even really, I wasn't even born, I don't think, when it came out. And I mean, I love Beetlejuice. Like, I was scared to death of it when I was a kid, but it's one of my favorite movies now. It's a great movie.
No, it was a good movie, though. I mean, I love Beetlejuice. I got to watch the first one all over again.
Oh, yeah, you
got to
watch it now.
Remember Beetlejuice again.
Little raunchy, but it's great. Right. It's great.
Yeah, I'd be curious. I haven't watched the movie in a long time, but I remember liking the movie.
I liked it.
A lot of the original characters are going to be in it.
Right.
So, and the girl who played in the Addams Family movie, Wednesday, plays, I think, Lydia's daughter. So, and oh my gosh, Jenna Ortega.
See, I got to go watch it again just to remember the moments.
Yeah.
So, I guess.
So, Winona Ryder's in the movie?
Mm hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
See? All right, hold your purse.
Pretty sure Michael Keaton's in it too.
Well, who said that?
Obviously Michael Keaton's in the movie. He's Beetlejuice.
I know, but a lot of people are like, oh, they're going to have to cast a new Beetlejuice, and it's just
no,
like,
why? Beetlejuice already looked wrecked as hell. I mean, right. You know what I'm saying?
Like, they made a handsome man look very gross and disgusting.
Right. Yeah. So he's older now. It'll be a little easier.
He just played Batman. He can do anything.
That's right.
He did. He was, he played old Batman.
Oh, plus now they can de-age you and do all that crazy stuff like they did with, you know, when they did the last Indiana Jones. That was kind of creepy.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is what you need to know. Brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times is the 90 minutes from wherever you are. All right. Yeah. So Todd Gurley. What did Todd Gurley say about his time with the Rams? So he was on, what podcast was he on?
It's the 25 and 10 podcast. Uh-huh.
25 and 10.
Yeah, LeSean McCoy is 25, yep. And right. DeSean Jackson, number 10. Former teammates. Eagles. With the Eagles.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So 25-10 podcast, and Todd Gurley came on and had this to say about your Los Angeles Rams.
I was one of them dudes that I understood how Sean McVay was, so it was a type of thing where they was like, oh, they're saving him, they were trying to protect him, but at the end of the day, nah. Money play a big issue,
yeah,
and sometimes, you know, notoriety, you getting bigger than the coach. The coach want to have feel like he is his show. F*** all that. We're going to get right to it. Was there a time where you felt the way towards McVay for not putting you in? Because I know how you are. You want to talk that rock.
Yeah, it wasn't like f*** him, but it was like, damn. Yeah. But it wasn't like f*** him, but it was like f*** him.
Yeah.
But, like, still trying to be the team guy, you know what I'm saying? Not really trying to, like, really trip. But then I'm just like, y'all want to pay me to sit down? All right, exactly. Well, goddamn, so be it.
So if you remember, by the end of Todd Gurley's tenure here, he had already dealt with he dealt with an injury even before he walked in the door. You know what I'm saying? So, like, he just didn't look like the same dude anymore.
Right. That last couple years of how they had to handle Todd Gurley, his injury history.
Right.
Remember, he never practiced in the – he practiced, but he never did much. He would get days off for a guy who was only in his fourth, fifth year in the league during training camp.
Right.
Like, they had to
– And they used him a lot in games.
It was the Todd Gurley plan, remember? Right. Todd Gurley had his own training camp, and Sean McVay had to, you know, cater a lot of things toward – a guy. Remember, he inherited Todd Gurley, by the way.
Right.
He didn't draft him. And if you've seen Sean McVay's history, it's been a running back by committee.
Yeah.
It's been, you know,
well, it's very Mike Shanahan.
Yes. It's, you know, they have one or two guys. I mean, they went to the Super Bowl with C.J. Anderson as their lead tailback.
Right.
Right? They had guys that just kind of go through. So he was featuring Todd, but Todd really – he got the most out of Todd Gurley. Everybody knew that the running story around NFL circles with Todd Gurley was that he's got literally a 4 to 5 year shelf life, and his knees weren't going to hold up.
Right.
I think what happens also, too, is that we got to remember who the quarterback was at the time.
Right, Jared Goff.
Jared Goff. So a lot of times there were situations, and then maybe Sean has gotten past this, or he was so analytically driven when he was the head coach early in his career, was that everyone knew that, hey, to stop the Rams, we're going to load up and not run. We're going to stop the run. And so with Ty Gurley, everybody's like, okay, they're going to run the ball. And it was like, no, we're going to make sure they don't run it. And Sean McVay, to his detriment, would say, okay, we're going to pass it. And there was a lot of games where the Rams should have just said, we don't care if you're going to
load up the box, right?
With Jeff Fisher, it was different, right? People forget the Jeff Fisher year of 2016. Jeff Fisher,
I do because I slept through most of it.
If you have 15 men in the box, Jeff Fisher would go, we go still run the ball.
Right.
Sean McVay was an analytical guy. If you have too many guys who are in the front, like Sean's like, oh, I'm about to throw it. I'm about to show you what my offense can do. I'm the young hot shot. I'm the young kid, this and that. But again, they paid him his money, though. So I think he's upset at the fact that, like, man, I felt like I could have did more. But at the end of the day, he was like, I got a contract when the running back market wasn't getting contracts.
Right.
Like, Todd Gurley got paid.
He got paid?
Early, too.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like these late contracts. You see what Christian McCaffrey getting paid now? He got paid at a time where running backs did get paid, and he got paid.
Right.
Do you think that there's any truth to what he said about, like, oh, yeah, Sean McVay comes in, he's the young, like you said, hot shot quarterback, and maybe sometimes the coach doesn't want you to, like, outshine him? That seemed like kind of a weird suggestion.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was outshine, but Sean McVay came in running his offense.
Yeah.
Like, he was the wonder kid, the guru. Like, think about it. We're talking about the Sean McVay effect, how people run training camp, how people do the offense, how many coaches from his coaching tree are now head coaches in the National Football League. Sean McVay changed the NFL.
Yeah.
And put it like this, Todd Gurley has retired, had an unbelievable
made 54 million guaranteed over his career.
Unbelievable 3 to 4 year run. Sean McVay, it feels like he's still just getting started. Remember, he turned down the opportunity to make how many million dollars to do Amazon? 20 million a year to do Amazon. He's like, no, I'm good. It'll always be there. So Sean McVay is just, I give him a ton of credit. He's innovative. And to watch his coaching branch out, like, that's, again, it always comes back to LA sports, right? I'm looking here and you see the foundation that's been built. And I talked about it earlier about depreciating assets.
Right.
There are guys who, when they go somewhere and when they leave there, they still can play at a high level. Whereas there are some places you go, they leave there, and they're no longer the same player. That's what happens a lot of times. Not necessarily with the Rams, because they're okay. They'll let you go somewhere else. But, man, I give Todd Gurley a bunch of credit. I love watching him run the football. But, George, at some point, you got to make tough decisions.
You do?
You got to make tough
decisions.
The Warriors
made one.
And the Lakers got to make some tough decisions.
Right.
In order to...
But what is that?
Yeah,
but what does the Lakers making tough decisions look like?
But
to you, I'm curious.
To me, it's what is your core? Your core, we know, obviously, is LeBron and AD.
And then what?
And then what? What is the next piece that you consider untradeable? Because people would love to do a deal with the Lakers, but what are you willing to give up? And is that piece something that you
Austin
think that
you Reeves
can...
is the guy everybody wants.
So that's the one. And how...
But they're not willing to give it up.
And why not?
But here's the thing.
I would love to hear JJ's philosophy, though. What does JJ Redick think? Because look, there's Rob, and now we're going to learn what JJ thinks.
I'm sure he thinks Austin is going to be great. But I would say this. I think that the time to move Austin was for DeJounte Murray. That was the time to do it.
Missed that window.
The window is gone.
Ugh.
I think you were getting a better player in that scenario who was also on a cost-controlled contract for a guy of his stature.
Yep.
And Austin probably, again, the problem is they want the value of Austin outperforming his contract, which they're going to get.
Right.
But there's levels to this, right? Him outperforming his contract is not the same as DeJounte Murray potentially outperforming his contract. Right. Because there is a different level of player there, in my estimation.
No, different caliber. Yeah.
And that's just it. And that's not a knock on anybody, right? Because it feels like in today's day and age, if you're saying a comment like that, it's like, oh, you're hating on Austin Reeves.
No,
I'm not hating Austin Reeves. Austin Reeves is a very good player. I think DeJounte Murray is a borderline great player. Like, that's the difference. There's a level to it.
Good players bring pieces too, and you have to feel like, okay, as much as I want this piece,
what is
a better piece? I mean, I remember talking to like general managers, man, head coaches in the NFL. Like, my job is to replace you. I can draft you, but then my job is still to replace you. I got to find a better player.
Yeah.
So there is no, like, the love that you have for a guy that you just drafted. You're like, man, this is my guy. But no. Business is like, I got to get somebody better than you.
Correct.
I have to go with the next. That's just what we were just talking to Todd Gurley. Todd was great, but at the end, I had to go out and draft Cam Akers. I had to go draft somebody to draft someone who's better than you.
Correct, 100%. And what I would add to you is this. If you had DeJounte Murray on this team, there's probably some older veteran guys who look at the Lakers roster and say, I'll go there. Because I think they're closer. You know what I'm saying? And again, not a knock on Austin, right?
Yeah.
It's just people around the league look at Murray a little differently, okay? And that's just it. But you're not in that situation, so there's no reason to lament it. Although our friend Nick Wright, while I have not specifically blamed Rob, I do think there are things that fall under Rob's jurisdiction. I've repeatedly said this franchise, quote unquote, loves to be collaborative. That is their word. Okay, they work, whether it's the front office with the ownership or the front office with the players, the two star players, and vice versa, right? All of it is collaborative. So they are all in this together for whatever it's worth. Okay, now, it doesn't mean that they're all necessarily always in agreement with each other. But at the end of the day, that, you know, What ends up happening is because they have collaborated on this. And when they haven't, you hear it because the players are the first to tell you when it wasn't collaborative, whether it's aggressively or passive-aggressively, right? We know that that is the case. So Nick Wright, our friend, friend of the program on his Fox Sports 1 show, had this to say about the Lakers general manager.
I am baffled at the total inability of Rob Pelinka to get anything done ever. How many times are we going to hear about the Lakers being in on something and then the front office not being able to get it done? You have a scenario where the greatest player of his generation, in my opinion, the greatest player ever, says, you know what? I'll take a pay cut. You have a scenario where a player clearly wants to stick it to his former team in Golden State. His daddy broadcast the games, and they're on the water.
Because, you know, he has a boat.
He has a boat.
Yeah. So he's always at Marina Del
Rey. And he's got a house.
He's there on the water?
He's got a house in Hermosa Redondo or something, right? Oh, yeah, somewhere like that.
So they dropped the ball. It's okay.
It is and it isn't, I would say. It is in the sense of, like, it's not that they dropped the ball, and it's not his inability to do anything. It is his, what I would say is the misjudgment of D'Angelo Russell's worth. And I think that that is, as far as a contract.
I know what you're saying, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that the misjudgment of D'Angelo Russell's worth in the open market is what's cost the Lakers. And when I have, you know, people, again, they say I'm really hard on D'Angelo Russell. Okay, I'm not. I don't think I'm hard on him. I think people here expected more than what he's capable of providing.
Right.
Again, a good player, not a great player. And again, there's nothing wrong with being a good player. In the right situation, good players are incredibly necessary. But what the Lakers need, okay, is for their good players to be great.
This radio commercial was made to convince you to stop speeding. We can't use siren sound effects on the radio, so we'll use other equally jarring sound effects to get your attention. Like telling you that whether you drive a little over the speed limit or a lot, you can crash just the same. You could hurt yourself or worse, others.
I'm at the scene of the collision.
And the damage you cause will be beyond repair. See? We didn't have to use crash or siren sounds after all. Speeding catches up with you. Brought to you by NHTSA.
Are you ready to build your company's dream team? Just like in sports, finding skilled players is essential for success. With Robert Half's winning combination of specialized recruiting professionals and award-winning AI, we'll help you find the MVPs and key role players who will have you hanging banners in the rafters. Because in business, it's all about having the experienced team on your side. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
More often than not. And because they don't have enough great players on their team. So you're asking guys to play above their head, and that's not necessarily fair. But the reality is, to your point earlier, is that as a general manager, outside of a few core pieces, you got to look at all the other stuff as interchangeable.
Everything.
And when they made the deal with D'Angelo Russell, they thought that was a good deal that they would be able to move, and it has shown time and time again that it is not worth the value they perceived it to have. And that's not me ripping Pelinka or ripping D'Angelo. That is the facts of the matter, at least currently at 6:15, okay, on July 1st, 2024, the year of the Lord.
It's just like a bedroom set. You know what I'm saying? Like a bed. Like, you go to your bedroom, your bed is right there. I could change out pillows. I could do a new comforter. I could do a new lamp. I could do a new rug. But the bed never changes. You hear what I'm saying? The bed never changes. My Jameis Winston. But the bed never changes. Think that's what happened. That's your core. The core of the room is always going to be the bed. You can change that other stuff around.
Yeah.
You could change all. You're like, you know what? I got that lamp, but it ain't really working. Yeah. Let me go get another lamp. That's what they got to think about.
Even a dresser occasionally.
Just, you could dress it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe put a new TV in there.
Yeah.
Maybe redo the lighting. But you know what ain't going to never
curtains.
Change?
Yeah.
What ain't going to never change?
The bed.
That bed.
Yeah.
That core.
Yeah.
So what do you value most? What do you value most outside of the betting.
See, is it a financial thing with the Lakers? Because, I mean, Valanciunas' name was tied with them, correct? And he signed for $30 million with the Wizards. So is he, are they looking at, are these players looking at it as like, okay, I see how the roster's built?
Well, I think the Lakers, again, the Lakers could not have offered Valanciunas even $10 million with its current roster because of the way that their cap is tied up, okay? They needed to get under that number, which means for Valanciunas to make 10, I mean, this is me guessing, right? For Valanciunas to get what he got, I think LeBron had to come, and again, not moving D'Angelo for nothing, right? Because that's what you're also trying to do, or for less money, right? You're trying to get less back in that scenario. LeBron would have had to have taken a $30 million salary. You know what I'm saying? For Valanciunas.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he was going to have to take 25 just for Clay. So, and that's not happening. Like, that was that part of it. Like, that's not a haircut. That's a cut.
Yes, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, that ain't going to happen. And LeBron's going to get the full max now because there aren't any players left available. That made sense. But the idea was LeBron was going to take a pay cut because they were going to be able to move D'Lo to a team with space or for... in some sort of three-team deal, perhaps, where they're not getting a ton of salary back. You know what I'm saying?
So
because teams have trade exemptions and stuff that they can plug in those scenarios. That's a little too in the weeds. But my point is they weren't going to get a ton back from a salary perspective for D'Lo to be able to make up that difference and then pay Clay or pay Valanciunas or whatever, you know?
I mean, free agency just started, and you look at a roster and you say, are we better right now currently than how we left off?
Lakers, go. TV, they're talking about them right now. Let's hear what these guys are talking about.
I mean, I don't know about you guys. There's a lot of names up here, so take it all in. This looks really similar to last year's team once you add in LeBron James. That would be 15 guys on the roster. So, Shanae, joining us back at the desk here, can the Lakers afford to run back this same roster and improve on their standings in the playoffs? This is a team that won just one playoff game last year.
Absolutely not. I mean, they need more players. The roster is their biggest issue. And I feel like the Lakers, I mean, teams are making moves, and the Lakers are waiting for their glow up.
Yeah, I miss you.
Thank you. I've been here. I've been chilling the whole time. The Lakers are still waiting for their glow up, and it may not come. I feel like Richard knows a lot about that, you know, a little bit.
Everyone's glow ups don't come.
It never came. Mm. But if you think about, you know, the teams that were in the NBA Finals, they both were the top 2 3-point shooting teams. The Lakers are bottom three in that category. They've hired an analytical coach in J.J. Redick, but you still have to have the players. You can't have the coach shooting the threes for you. You have to have the players. So to me, the roster is a big issue. And if you're striking out, that puts more pressure on the coaching, a first-time head coach who's going to try to make more with less, and that's a very difficult position for her.
You know what's crazy? LeBron James basically betted Rob Pelinka $20+ million that he couldn't do his damn job. And guess what? Rob Pelinka ain't do his damn job. The world knew that LeBron James wanted Clay. His mama called him Clay, I'ma call him Clay. They need shooting. Let me tell you something about LeBron James and J.J. Redick. We're not just tossing around the terminology of, oh, brilliant basketball minds. Mm-hmm. Both of those guys are brilliant basketball minds. Both of those guys are also sharks, meaning when you get around them, you got to be on your best. What's wrong?
No. Keep going.
You
got
to be on. We're not in with you.
You got to be on your best stuff. Iron sharpens iron.
Right.
If Rob Pelinka need to be careful, and he need to step his game up, because when you're dealing with someone, especially a guy like JJ, and I know he's the first year head coach, but JJ, he dots his I's and crosses his T's. He's in his book. He is doing his homework. He is doing everything behind the scene. He's one of the most hardworking guys that I've ever been around, especially in this basketball space.
So you mentioned Klay Thompson. Brian, you laid this out, that the Mavericks were always a step ahead of the Los Angeles Lakers in this because they created the space to be able to sign him to a deal that simply did not exist for Los Angeles.
Two. They made two trades to clear space to get Klay Thompson. One was Tim Hardaway, and one was Josh Green today.
Yep.
They made two trades. Here's the thing. Not 6 months ago, not 16 days ago, like last week when they introduced J.J. Redick as head coach, Rob Pelinka sat up there in front of everybody and said, we are going to focus on development of young players. We're going to focus on our draft picks. We're not going to trade our draft picks. That's what he said. LeBron saying, I'm going to take a pay cut for a guy in his mid-30s is not doing that. What move have the Lakers made so far this offseason? They signed Max Christie to a $32 million deal. That's a developmental player. That's a guy who didn't even play. That shows a plan that to follow through with what they said, to keep the picks, to develop the players. That is not with let's trade a bunch of guys away and give extra picks to do it. You know, the Mavericks were, I think they traded 5 picks to get rid of those 2 players to get Klay Thompson. So the Lakers are trying to stick to a plan. It doesn't seem like it equals what LeBron wants to do, but they did draft Bronny, and LeBron's about to sign for $160 million.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's chess.
I think LeBron likes being a Laker, and he's going to stay being a Laker, but the Lakers and LeBron are not really showing the same priorities right now.
The Lakers are a good team. I mean, I don't mean that facetiously. They're a good team in the Western Conference. Yep. That's a hard thing to be. They're not a great team as currently constructed. They don't really have a pathway to becoming a great team. I think they're going to do something in the next few days to tinker on their roster. We'll see if it's a big move, a medium-sized move, a small move. But this is just what they are, and they are telegraphing that we have to plan for a post-LeBron world. And part of that is player development, staying flexible with a bunch of mid-sized contracts, keeping our draft picks, unless we could make a smaller trade. We spent the whole year talking about, well, they're going to have 3 picks to trade. Oh, my God, the mega players they could get. Maybe there's a smaller, medium-sized trade that's like one of the picks and somebody goes out the door, but they're telegraphing what they want to do. And they're really saying there isn't a big move that vaults us up to the top of the West. We are who we are. We're good. That's fine.
It sounds like the Lakers are in jeopardy. So let's bring in our Alex Trebek here. Why can't the Lakers improve here for 1,000, Bobby?
Well, here's where the Lakers are right now. This is before LeBron James signs with them. They're at $140 million. The dreaded second apron is $189 million. And we're going to go into that as far as what some of these restrictions are. If LeBron re-signs at a starting salary of $50 million, Malika, that gets you at the second apron. So what does that mean? That means a player like D'Angelo Russell cannot be traded and more money comes back. So if Russell is traded, they cannot take back a player earning $20 million. They cannot aggregate with Rui Hachimura and take back a player earning $36 million. You cannot combine salary. Those are some of the restrictions that the Lakers face about LeBron James at $50 million. That's why we've been talking about the discount. $38 million, $37 million. Does it get you maybe DeMar DeRozan? Mm. You got to be creative here. So I think maybe keep an eye on DeRozan over the next 48 hours, possibly. But it's going to have to be at $38, $36 million. It cannot be at that $50 million number because here are all your restrictions that Lakers have.
All right, keeping an eye on DeMar DeRozan, but we also know our Dave McMenamin said they don't have endless time here. LeBron James, he wants to head into Team USA camp that starts this weekend with that contract signed. So the Lakers, they are under a little bit of pressure here to get this done. Bobby, thank you. Coming up next on NBA.
Now, that changes a whole lot of things.
That's a lot of info right there.
Because
so
let me tell you,
LeBron got to take a pay cut if they want to get some money back.
If LeBron takes 50, which is less than what he made or he's scheduled to make if he just would have opted in, okay? Yeah. They're already at the dreaded second apron, as you heard, which means they can't take more money back in a deal because they're already at the top, and they can't aggregate guys to trade them.
They can't trade D'Angelo Russell.
Right.
They're stuck with him.
Well, or you have to trade for less than $19.7 million.
Correct.
And you can't combine players in that scenario to make deals in that scenario.
That's a lot. So now you're looking at guys who are at that price range.
It limits you even further, which is why I will repeat what I said a few minutes ago before we went to that on TV during the NBA free agency special that ESPN has going on. They made a miscalculation on D'Angelo Russell's number. If it wasn't evident and clear to you before, it should be right now. That's the reality. And that's not a knock on D'Angelo as a player or as a person. The team made a miscalculation because they perceived that as a deal they could move. Real quick, before we go to break, because we have Big Deal or No Deal next, we do our WNBA segment here real quick. We like to call it WNBA for dummies. It's really more for Cappy because he's kind of a dummy. But we love him, even though he's a dummy. Mm-hmm. Shout out yesterday to Caitlin Clark and the Fever. An incredible game. I got to watch the end of the game, basically the last 20 minutes or so of the game. I was out there doing stuff with the kids. And I came back in time to watch the end of that game between Diana Taurasi and the Sun and Caitlin Clark and the Fever. Caitlin Clark and the Fever were down 15 points, came back to win that game. Taurasi was looking great early on, and then Caitlin took over. Point guard Caitlin took over. 13 assists. Her shot wasn't falling the way they wanted her to, I would imagine, but she took over the game in a different way, which I thought was a huge... I know she's had some big assist games,
right,
but not in a 15-point comeback.
She's still finding her game.
Right.
Think about it. She's still... It's crazy. We know what the game was in college, but she's still finding her game. It's been ups, it's been down, dealing with migraines. Like, she's had a lot to have to deal with, and yet... She found a way for a big victory, man. So, look, shout out to her. Shout out to the WNBA. That's not going to be the first time we've seen this.
I can't wait to see what the numbers are like, because her and Angel Reese the last Sunday was over was 2.3 million.
Biggest WNBA game in 23 years.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see what the numbers for the game against Taurasi were. So I think it is a lot more physical basketball. I was talking to somebody who was there in person and said to me, the WNBA game is far more physical than the NBA game. The officials let them get away with a lot more physicality, which they enjoyed, is what they were saying as a viewer in the house. So anyway, cool stuff we wanted to pass along. Big Deal or No Deal next. We got Dealer's Choice coming up. Laker fans. Do we have an emergency Lakers talk today?
Oh, yeah. I saw Slee.
Slee is actually doing Slee's in Lakers person. Talk in studio.
In studio.
So
we need to get Slee in here for that last segment.
Slee just walked through here. I saw him. I said what's up to.
We need to get Slee in here. Laker fans, we're going to get Slee in here. So we'll do that in the last segment. Big Deal or No Deal next.
All right, guys, here is your chance to win your way into Asada Fest presented by Northgate Market. Be caller 7 right now at 877-710-ESPN. That's 877-710-ESPN, and correctly answer the trivia question based on today's show. So make sure before you call that you've been listening to the show today. You will win a pair of VIP tickets to Asada Fest on July 13th at Rolling Greens in downtown LA. The inaugural Asada Fest is presented by Northgate Market. Call now for your chance to win.
Real quick, what's the easiest choice you can make? Window seat over middle? Beach vacation over camping? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're gonna love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Thanks, Chris. All right, Lindsay, you take it away.
Thanks, Sedano. All right, guys, so the reigning NBA champs are set to become available for sale, and they're potentially going to fetch a record price for an NBA team. The majority owners of the Celtics will explore the sale of the franchise. Reports came out today. And, you know, it's not very often you hear of a professional sports team going up for sale, like, pretty much immediately after winning the title. Mm-hmm. So I figured I'd ask you guys, is this a big deal or no deal? George, you go first.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal whenever something like that happens. I mean, he bought the thing for like $400 million. He's about to sell it for like probably like $5 billion or something crazy like that. So, you know,
I think this is a big deal. And help me out here, George. I believe, look, they just trying to get people. A lot of people think that owners already got it. I think he's just trying to get that return on his investment and still be a part of the minority. Okay. Meaning that there's majority owners and there's minority owners. Let me get my initial investment and some. I've already made it, and I'll still have a little bit of piece of the team. Meaning I may have, 5%, maybe less than that. But what does that 5% or less than 5% still get you? Season tickets, floor seats, all the access that you need. And you don't have to worry about the day-to-day anymore. You could be a minority owner. That's what Magic is. Magic ain't the full owner.
Right.
You can still have the same privileges.
Yep.
Of the majority owners. So look, the Dallas Mavericks, case in point. The full owner isn't Mark Cuban anymore. He's a minority owner.
He owns 27%.
He don't own the majority. He got all his money back. He doesn't have to do the day-to-day. But, man, he's still the face of the team. It's the Adelson family,
right? Yeah, the Sands.
Vegas.
Yeah, group. Yeah.
So I'm all for it. I understand what he's doing. Get his return on the investment and still keep the perks of being part of the fabric, the ownership, but just not have to do the day-to-day. I want to do that.
Yeah, it's like you're just kind of hanging out.
Yeah.
And it's like you're letting someone else do all the work when you're in a group project.
Yeah,
but
basically.
You get the good grade at the end.
Great way of putting it. That's what it is. It's basically a group project, and now you just show up on presentation day.
Correct.
That's it.
That's it.
It's all
perfect.
The fun stuff.
What's next?
All right, so John Heyman of the New York Post reported yesterday that Kenley Jansen could be traded by the Red Sox and that the Dodgers and Padres like him. So instead of asking you guys whether it's a big deal or no deal, do you think that the Dodgers or Dodgers fans should want Kenley back in Dodgers uniform?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like Evan Phillips
washed,
has been. No, I don't think he's washed. I mean, he's been better than I thought he would be. I thought his last couple years here with the Dodgers weren't what we were used to.
Yeah, and he did get better when he left. That's
Evan
true.
Phillips has been good. Like, right. I don't really think they need a closer. I mean, if they want, I mean, they don't. Evan Phillips is technically the closer, although they don't really go closer. Mm-hmm. You know, they have other guys.
Committee.
Not really. It's mostly Evan, but it's like, you know, it's never bad to have more arms in the bullpen. Like, I will. It's the most volatile position in all of baseball. So I don't think it's a problem. I think he's pitched, you know, Kenley's been really good this year. But the Red Sox are not a contending team. So I would imagine the Red Sox will deal him. And, you know, look, I don't know what his contract situation is. I'd have to look that up. You know, I'm assuming he doesn't have a lot left on his contract. And if that's the case, then if you're the Dodgers, why not? I think it would be cool to have him back in the fold. And you can kind of go and have him and Phillips close games depending on the situation.
I'm going to go with no deal. I mean, outside of LeBron, like, do reunions really work? Think about it.
There's a reason why it ended the first time,
Think about it, right? Like, do reunions work? It's like breaking up and then getting back together. Do reunions really work?
Yeah. By the way, Kenley in the last year of a deal with Boston.
Yeah. Something like bringing him back, does that bring back memories for Dodgers fans on his last little part where you got nervous every time he took the hill at the end of a game?
People freaked out every time.
So you want to relive those moments again? That's why I said this is no deal, man. This is no deal because reunions very rarely work. I'll give LeBron his reunion with Cleveland. That is probably the most
still in his prime,
famous
though, when he came back.
Cleveland! Yeah. This is for you!
But outside of that, reunions are, tough. Tough. Because you're never getting the player who you once got. So to get Kenley, you're not even getting that Kenley.
It's like you're just trying to like, you know, bring back a little bit of magic or I don't know. I feel like it's usually for the wrong reasons, right?
Not turn back the clock, Dave.
Yeah.
Although Kenley has been really good this year. Kenley looked this year like the Kenley from like pre 2017 and earlier.
Right.
But I don't know how sustainable that is at 36 years old.
And in pressure moments in Los Angeles, they're going to have some leads.
Yeah. And plus, it's the first half of the season, and a lot of times it's like...
A guy like that could fade later in the year. But that's why maybe you bring him in as the eighth inning guy or the seventh inning guy. You know what I mean? Like, or just whatever. You know, like you can... Maybe that's what they're thinking. Who knows?
As a role player, wow.
Yeah. As a role player, I wouldn't be mad at it.
Yeah, he's over there.
I can see that. Yeah. Role player, but as be a number one closer? Nah.
All right, what's next?
All right, so Chicago Bears safety Jonathan Owens married U.S.
Simone Biles.
Yes.
Yeah.
He married her 2 years ago. And now, obviously, like I said earlier, she's heading back to the Olympics. She will compete in the Paris Olympics in the gymnastics. And this is the first time since they got married that she's actually going to be competing on a stage like this during training camp for the NFL. So, apparently, the Bears have granted him permission to go over to Paris so he can be there to support his wife during the Olympics. And people online seem to be kind of, like, split about this because he's missing, you know, he's missing half of training camp or whatever so he can go see his wife. So, some people are like, hey, you know, that's not your job. Like, this is your job. You get paid to go to work. And then the other half is like, oh, this is great. He's there supporting his wife. So, do you guys think that him missing some time in training camp is a big deal or no deal? Kirk?
No deal. It's not a big deal at all. This is just a no deal. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I think that if every player or coach has that opportunity to do that, they would would hopefully be allowed to go over there. They signed him in free agency, so I don't think he's not in jeopardy of making the team by no means. Look, we know their story. And for him, it was kind of funny where everybody's talked about it. She's had to come out and publicly stand up for him because he said, look, I didn't know who she was because I always had training camp. Like, I always had training camp, so I didn't watch the Olympics in the summer. So for him to be able to go out and watch her and be there, be her support.
And they call him cool. Simone Biles' husband.
Simone Biles' husband, yes. Instead of as long as he's not taking too much time off, great. But I think for him to be over there being support, I think that's huge. So I'll give them a no deal. That's nothing big. You think it's a big deal?
Nah. It's his lady, man. His wifey. Let him go see her.
Now, if it was Aaron Rodgers, that'd be a big deal.
She's about to become the most decorated gymnast ever. Correct. You know? Like, come on. Yeah.
So speaking of that, I want to ask you one last quick thing for a big deal or no deal.
Yeah.
So it came out today that, you know, Aaron Rodgers did miss mandatory minicamp, and nobody knew why. And it came out today that he actually missed it because of a pre-planned trip to Egypt. I don't know why he was planning a trip to Egypt during, like, minicamp. Because I feel like, isn't it like always the same time every year? But anyway, the fact that he missed mandatory minicamp, which, you know, it's Aaron Rodgers. He is the quarterback.
Right.
To go to Egypt. Is this a big deal or no deal?
I'll pass.
You don't want to answer?
I don't want to answer.
Why?
Because if they're losing, it's a big deal. If they're winning, it's no deal. So it's honestly
so you want to wait to evaluate.
The answer is evaluation. It's how they start off the season. Week one in San Francisco against the 49ers. They win that game. We're not talking about it. Lose that game. Oh, Aaron Rodgers.
He missed
mandatory minicamp because he had to be to Egypt. Over there in the tombs.
Don't you think?
Going to go see mummies.
It's already off to a bad start. Like, this whole him returning is already off to like a horrible start. Like, there's just been nothing but drama.
I mean, last year the NFL put together a campaign to bring back the Jets, and they got screwed. They had the Jets in 6 primetime games. Aaron Rodgers gets hurt on the 4th play of the season, and the Jets were horrible, and they weren't horrible, but it was a tough watch offensively last year. They're giving Aaron Rodgers and the Jets one more year. They're giving them one more year to make all the wrongs.
Is it going
to
work?
Right. It's going to be compelling TV. Okay. Aaron Rodgers is going to be the topic of conversation as the season comes along.
Can't wait.
It's going to be fun. Hopefully they're winning. Because if they're winning, everything will be fine. If they're losing, oh, man. You already know ESPN Greeny, our guy, man. They're going to be leading with Jets talk on Get Up every morning. I love it.
All right. That is Big Deal or No Deal. Coming up next, Dealer's Choice.
We're going to have Emergency Slee.
Emergency Slee is our Dealer's Choice.
Yes.
Yeah, that's coming up.
Emergency Slee.
In just a second.
Whoa, that ball is out of here.
And coming right for us. I caught it. And I earned 3% back when I bought this glove online with my Bank of America customized cash rewards card.
Be your own hero. Earn 3% back in the category of your choice, including online shopping, with the Bank of America Customized Cash Rewards Card. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/customizedcash. What would you like the power to do?
This is Camp Classic. For fans of Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunchy Bars, the OG granola bar that started it all. Crunch into the real honey and whole grain oats in every single bite. Nature Valley.
All right, well, you guys go get Emergency Slee here, but let me tell everybody, All-Star Friday night is right around the corner. That means it's time again for our All-Star student nominations, thanks to Rotolo Chevrolet and Composio Buick GMC. If you know a student that's an All-Star in the classroom and in their sport and in the community, go to ESPNLA.com to nominate your students. Parents, friends, family, teachers, and coaches can all participate in nominating an All-Star student. Go to ESPNLA.com today to do so. Rotolo Chevrolet and Composio Buick GMC, come see what the fun is all about. All right, so let me know when Emergency Slee is available. So I was looking at, everyone keeps asking me about, what events I can go see in Paris while I'm there.
Yes.
The problem is, I can't because their opening ceremonies are the day I leave. So, you know, but usually they have a few events before, right? Like before the actual opening ceremony. The problem is they're really far. Yeah. They're in Nice, which is on the other side of the country.
Yes.
So
I didn't know that.
There's no easy way to get there.
I do know that.
And I am going to the airport, and it's like 2 days before I have to go back to the airport. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would have planned it differently because I could have seen Team USA play some soccer. The women's team is going to be in Nice on the 25th. But too quick of a turnaround if I got to go back to the airport anyway. And there's no hotels in Nice right now.
I have the Warriors statement on Klay Thompson.
I did. I saw it too.
Is it? What do you think of it? We can't overstate Klay Thompson's incredible and legendary contributions with the Warriors during his 13 years with the team, highlighted by 4 NBA titles, 6 trips to the NBA Finals, 5 NBA All-Star Game appearances, several NBA records, including the most points ever scored in a quarter, 37. Bay Area natives and Dub Nation supporters all around the world have been immense and cannot be minimized. His penchant for delivering in pressurized situations on the biggest stage, including Game 6 heroics, has helped define a career. Klay's legacy will live on forever, and we look forward to the day that we retire the number 11 jersey at the Chase Center, where he will join a host of Warrior immortals, including those who helped shape the recent dynasty.
There you go. Klay
Thompson. Lakers missed out on that.
Almost a Laker.
Almost.
Almostly.
Almost a Laker Klay. I like that. It almost got Klay.
Yeah. Is today an emergency Lakers talk or just a, well, it's a standard scheduled
standard
Lakers
standard
talk.
Schedule.
Yeah.
Like the sense of urgency. Like it's, you know, it is Mondays at 7, but that's okay. We could just call it a sense of urgency.
Sense of urgency.
I think we all kind of feel that way.
Well, you got to calm people down.
I mean, they
right?
struck out.
Yeah.
They've struck out today.
I know.
There's no way around it. I don't care what anybody wants to say.
Oh, no, you're not wrong.
They have struck out today.
Well, I think if you go, let's go a little bit further. Since the offseason started, all right, they get eliminated by Denver. Nothing has gone. The only thing the playoffs gave you was it became clear just how far you are from competing with Minnesota.
Right.
Dallas gets to the NBA Finals.
OKC, by the way, who's gotten better.
Oh, my God. OKC is what they've done in this offseason.
Right.
They're obviously only getting better. And I know you're a big fan of what J.J. Redick can be. J.J. Redick wasn't plan A. Dan Hurley was.
Mm-hmm.
So we spent 4 or 5 days talking about Dan Hurley. Is he going to come to the Lakers?
Was Dan Hurley really plan A?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was.
You think so?
I think if they could...
I think he was plan A.
You think so?
I think he was plan A once they realized there may be even an outside chance to get him.
Yeah, that's the way to put it.
Yeah,
I never believed it for a day in my life. I never believed it. I don't know, it's another story for another day. I just never believed it.
I think no matter how you look at it, it's that guy was in the mix and he chose UConn.
Right.
Maybe he was in play. Maybe he was just using it for leverage.
I think so.
But nothing from the start to where we're sitting today can you really look at this Lakers team and say, okay, you know what, this happened or that happened. It really hasn't. Now, I will give them credit. They if Dalton Connect is a good pick at number 17.
I think he will be.
Maybe he is, but that's also a development pick. That's going to take some time.
No, I think he can plug and play.
Okay, but even if he comes in next year and he has some type of impact, will that be the difference? Will that be
not enough to get you into championship contention.
And that's the point, right? And I think what you just said, George, about swinging and missing, there is no other way to put it. There's other guys that have gone in other places that have not chosen the Lakers.
So, I have said this for months, okay? Actually, longer, going back since last year.
Yeah.
And I've gotten a lot of heat for it, especially when he started to play better. But I have said they needed to trade D'Angelo Russell whenever they had the chance because I don't think he's the player that they need, okay, in a lot of ways. And again, that's not a knock on him as a player. He's a good player, but they need a very good to great player. Mm. And he's not capable of that consistently enough. And I think the biggest problem they have there is that they mistakenly gave him a contract that they thought they'd be able to move later, and the market has shown us that is absolutely not the case. A big, big misjudgment there by this organization, giving him a nearly $20 million contract and not being able to use it as a chip because basically the rest of the market has told you, nah, he's not that player.
Can you imagine starting next season, he's still there? By the way, I think you and I are on the same page in this. God bless D'Angelo Russell. I'm not telling you that the guy can't hit threes. if I'm building a championship team, I don't see D'Angelo Russell on that team.
Right.
I just don't. And if he was being waved around basically all of last year up until the trade deadline, and we didn't even have to get to an hour into today about the Clay stuff, once that breaks, that, hey, the Lakers were dangling, it was Chris Haynes, I think, reported mm-hmm. it, that they were trying to give, do a sign and trade. D'Angelo goes to the Golden State Warriors. Warriors are like, no
way in hell.
Why
would
they
way.
Take him? They have no reason
They've
to.
Already had right. it. They know what he is. We know what it is. That would
have been second round over there, too. He's got two rounds with the Lakers and two rounds with the Warriors. But I just say that because...
And by the way,
mm-hmm.
part of the job as a front office is to know, even before you're going into this...
Is that team interested in that guy?
Yes. Right. You have to have some intel on that. Sure. Let me tell you something I know about D'Angelo Russell's stay at Golden State. There's not a lot of fans there, is what I would say.
Random
and if I know that, shouldn't other people know that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not some, like, I'm not Woj, you know what I'm saying? Sure. I'm not Shams.
Sure.
I'm just a guy who happens to work in the league, right,
hey
and
there.
Works games.
I'm George
Sinatra. No, that doesn't mean crap, okay? If I know that,
mm-hmm.
you should have that intel. Okay, so that is another misjudgment there. So that means you should have done what Dallas did,
mm-hmm.
which is let's get off of Hardaway,
yep.
okay? Create one of those trade exemptions, yep. right?
Okay? Had more money to offer.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't do that. And so when we sit here and talk about this franchise and where it's at, you know, we talk about the head coach being... new to the situation. I feel like I've literally said this when they hired Darvin.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm going to say the same thing I said then. This front office is still also learning on the job to some extent.
Okay. Well, I'll disagree with you on that.
The moment you said about Dallas made the trade exemption, yesterday I'm listening to, you know, their NBA Today, everybody's doing, Windhorse right. is on. And Windhorse said exactly what you said. I just want you guys to remember something. As it's going to be Lakers or it's going to be Dallas. Dallas is already one step in front of the Lakers because yep. they had already made that trade exception.
Yep. Right.
And they already kind of put themselves in a position where we can offer more money. Oh, by the way, it's Texas, it's state tax, everything else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen, it's critical. I remember when – it's funny that you mentioned the Darvin Ham thing too. A week ago today, J.J. Redick was being announced, and I kept saying to myself, I'm like, we just did this 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are sitting at a stage where the Lakers – if they are not able to make a move, or they're able to make a move that's lateral, it's the worst position to be in, where you're not good enough to compete for a chip and you're not bad enough to actually rebuild your roster.
Right.
So
you're
with
in
all the smoke and we ain't ducking no fade.
Purgatory a little bit.
I do want to know this, though, too. I get it that you have a lot of players
okay.
who are either free agents or have possibilities. How many are... basically saying, I want to go play for a rookie head coach who has no coaching experience. Great player, but do I want to go spend the better years of my career or what I have left in a coach who's trying to figure it out? Or at least go to someone who's already been in the fire? If I'm Clay...
What do you think, George?
It's
a good question. It's a good question.
Or do I want to go with the podcast
so
guy?
I think guys make decisions mostly on a combination of how much money am I going to make, and what are my chances of winning?
Or who's my boss?
I think that's down the... I'm not saying it's insignificant.
I'm
just saying
it's not at the
top of the list, in my opinion.
Who the Lakers are going after.
Yeah.
If I was a young guy, under 25, send me anywhere.
Don't matter.
It don't matter.
I want to make money.
We talked about the young Kuzma earlier. I'm trying to make money.
Jordan Poole.
These guys, I'm trying to make money. Now you're talking about this older 30, 32 guys who can come in and play right away. Is that appealing? Rookie head coach with no coaching experience.
How
are you going to use me?
Yeah,
how are you going to use me, coach?
I don't know the answer to that.
I can't even watch film to say what the guy in
is that a Clay specific example? Are
Absolutely.
You saying I could go to Dallas, Jason Kidd's there?
I'm leaving Steve Kerr for J.J. Redick.
Hmm.
At least I know what Jason Kidd can do.
That's interesting.
I can't even say that about
right. I think that Clay was looking for the combination of the two things I talked about, which are money and chances to win.
Yeah.
You're talking about a team who's just in the finals, and you're talking about what can I canvas in the league to make the most money. I don't think the state income tax is, or lack thereof, is a small thing. His agent even talked about it.
Yeah.
I do think
I think it's coaching, dog.
Yeah, but I don't think that's like a main reason.
I think so.
I don't buy it for a second when it comes to NBA players. I think those guys want to get paid and they want to win.
It could be the icing, Steve Nash, they ran that dude up out of here.
But the coaching could factor into the winning. I'm not disputing that part of it.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's the top of the list.
It could be the icing on the cake. Like, it could be, I'm already leaning towards this way, and I lean even more because I know that that coach is there. And
right, J.K. got him to the finals.
Yeah. It was something I was thinking about last night. Like, if it comes down to it and you start putting
advantage,
out the positive,
disadvantage, there, yeah.
At the end of the day, is it going to be Clay's fault if the Mavericks don't win? I'm like, no, not necessarily, because you're still going to be Luka's.
It's Luka first and Kyrie second. Yeah.
Well, they got to do something.
He come to the Lakers.
We're still sitting here in a week, and they've done nothing.
So what do you do? Who are you waiting on? Who would Laker fans be like, oh, we got better today? Because right now, we're just looking
There's not a lot left.
Ain't nothing there that makes you feel good.
By the way, the DeRozan stuff, do you think DeRozan – I don't think DeRozan's taking a mid-level.
I don't either. I said that during crosstalk.
Yeah.
I was like,
why would he – I don't think he has a reason to. Why would he take a mid-level?
So remember the last time we were here with DeRozan, everyone thought he was going to take the mid-level. Then he ended up getting $28 million. So I don't buy that for 1 second.
Yeah, the only other player I could think of, and again, it's going to be challenging. Brook Lopez's name was thrown out there.
I'd love Brook Lopez, but you got a deal for him.
Yeah.
And who do you got a deal? You can't.
And what does Milwaukee want that you have?
Right, yeah. But here's the thing: I'm not trading Austin Reeves for Brook Lopez.
No, that's not happening.
I would have traded Austin Reeves for DeJounte Murray. Mm-hmm. I've talked about this a million times over. You got to use that chip at some point. Yes, he is outperforming his contract, or will continue to outperform his contract. But so can DeJounte Murray. Sure. He's only making $25 million.
Sure.
And in today's NBA, that's a good number for a guy who's already been an All-Star.
Milwaukee had to watch Jrue Holiday hold up another trophy.
Right, they're not doing it with that Brook, and you're not getting him for D'Lo. That's for sure.
They want the farm. They want the farm. Like, yeah, we let one of our core pieces go, and that dude just signed a new contract and got trophies now.
Yeah,
that's Milwaukee wants more.
All right, what's on the show? We got a break here.
We'll take some calls. Yovan Buha at 7:30, and
Yovan Buha. Cappy's gonna miss it.
Well, Cappy, Chris too.
Yeah,
Chris is probably devastated right now that Yovan's on.
Gonna miss Yovan. I'm gonna be listening. What time, Yovan?
7:30.
Oh, I'm in. All right, Kirk, great job, brother.
All good, brother.
Thank you, Lindsay, DeAndre, Funchy, the Circle, everybody. Christopher, I mean, you came in for a second, I guess. All right, Slee's up next. Lakers talk. See ya.